Virgin Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We're men. We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for fights.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
You know, we have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
We don't need to scale Mount Everest and then gun down a wild boar in order to be a man. You are a real man when you commit to study God's Word, when you commit to be obedient to what God says, and you commit to being conformed and transformed day by day into the image of Jesus Christ by loving your wife and leading your family.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this actually might be a very short version of Wretched Radio today. Really not a whole lot going on in the world, so maybe we'll just shut her down and take a nap. Which is never a bad idea.
No.
You know, on the other hand, I guess there's a couple of things happening, like our country's going completely bonkers, that people in Canada seem to be losing their minds also. What is going on up north with Pamela Geller, for instance, being invited to speak for the Pamela Geller, if you're not familiar, she is a woman who speaks out against Islam. She seems to notice that there seems to be a pattern in the religion of peace. She was invited to speak by a rabbi, in actually the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League. A rabbi said, sure, we'll host her here. He received a visit from the hate speech police. I'm not kidding. And basically they said, if you go through with this, I have to warn you, you probably won't be a chaplain anymore for the Toronto police. So he disinvited her. Inspector Ricky Virapan of the, listen to this, this is the police, of the Forces Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureau.
I didn't know they had one.
I mean, neither. Somebody's paying for that. Canada, you're such a lovely country. What is going on? The Forces Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureau confirmed that he and the officers of the Forces Hate Crimes Unit met with Rabbi Kaplan of the Chabad Flamingo Synagogue, not making that up. He canceled her talk. Verapin said he told Kaplan that Geller's speech would not be endorsed by York Regional Police and that the rabbi's role as a force chaplain would be thrown into question if he were to allow the event. If he did host Geller, then we'd have to reassess our relationship with him. We serve the needs of the entire community. Well, almost the entire community. Some of the stuff that Mrs. Geller speaks about runs contrary to the values of York Regional Police and the work we do engaging in our communities. So, in other words, we want to work with everybody to represent everybody to make sure that everybody's happy, unless you're speaking out against something we disagree with. By the way, at the University of Toronto in the month of March, they hosted rather controversial Muslim lecturer Tariq Ramadan. In October, Pakistani politician Imran Khan, a controversial critic of the U.S. war on terror, spoke in Brampton, Ontario. Laila Khalad, a Palestinian revolutionary from the 70s, she's going to be speaking at the University of British Columbia in a couple of days. Pamela Geller, on the other hand, not so much.
She was good in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though.
Not a lot going on. Well, except Mikey Weinstein. This is the story that's all the rage today. Are you familiar with Mikey Weinstein?
Unfortunately, yes.
Did he do the Life cereal commercial? Because he doesn't like anything,
no,
especially
that was
Christians,
a whole
apparently.
Different Mikey.
Different Mikey. Well, this is a fellow who runs an organization because, let's face it, these days you can hang out a shingle and start up pretty much anything. He is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He is now working with the Pentagon. The Pentagon brought him in, I believe, April 23rd. Here are the details. These are taken from Joe Cart. Everybody's been writing about this. Weinstein. I always get that confused. It's I before E, except after C, except
Mikey.
A neighbor in Weinstein. Well, I guess it's Weinstein because it wouldn't be Weinstein. It's Weinstein. Met privately with Pentagon officials on April 23rd. He told Fox News that U.S. troops who proselytize are guilty of sedition and treason and should be punished to stave off what he called a tidal wave of fundamentalists. We're a tidal wave now. Cool.
See how we are?
Quote, someone needs to be punished for... I'm sorry, wait a second. Let me read. Yeah. Someone needs to be punished for this, he told Fox News. Until the Air Force or Army or Navy or Marine Corps punishes a member of the military for unconstitutional religious proselytizing and oppression, we'll never have the ability to stop this horrible, horrendous, dehumanizing behavior. That's right. Dehumanizing behavior. We would love to see hundreds of prosecutions to stop this outright fundamentalist religious persecution. Proselytizing is a version of being spiritually raped. And you are being raped by fundamentalist Christian religious predators. Can we, somebody buy a dictionary for the whole world right now? Please? Is there anybody?
Whoa.
Maybe even a thesaurus would work at this point. Don't they have Google? Words have meanings. Now you're a terrorist. Now you share your faith. You are raping someone spiritually.
But not if you use, you know, the law and, you know, mean hate speech like that.
Right. No, that's nice. No, that's nice. The Pentagon's new religious tolerance guru, Mikey Weinstein, wants to remove Christianity from the military, going as far as basically stating you got to take if a commanding officer has a Bible on his desk, that's intimidation. If he has a Christian bumper sticker. See, he's trying to convert the people, and he should be punished! I wonder if he'd want to send him to Guantanamo Bay. Probably, in this instance, that would
you
be
know,
okay.
Domestic terror.
Writing in the Huff and Puff and Blow Your Worldview Down post, he writes, we must vigorously support the continuing efforts to expose pathologically anti-gay, Islamophobic, and rabidly intolerant agitators for what they are. Die-hard enemies of the United States Constitution. Christian, he's talking about you. Monsters, one and all. We need the Canadian Hate Crime Intolerance Police to come down and slap a ticket on him. We're monsters.
Okay.
But that's okay. Because, you see, if we are monsters, according to them, jumping over the hurdle of whether or not we actually are, what is right or wrong, it's okay. To do any less would be to roll out a red carpet to those who could usher in blood-drenched, draconian era of persecutions, nationalistic militarism, and superstitious theocracy. Now we need to get him not only a dictionary, but a history book. That would be nice. I think the world needs to be reminded, none of this is progressive. None of it. It is entirely regressive. There was an interesting article. I wish Gene Veith would write more. I like that Lutheran fellow. He's too pithy. Seriously, Gene, write more. You have a lot to say, and I'd like to hear more of it. He was quoting an article written in... what's the name of the guy? Russ Dreher. Talking about the state of Christianity and culture. And they were saying that Christians need to stop arguing homosexuality from a moralistic standpoint and start arguing it from a cosmological standpoint. Instead of arguing it from a moralistic standpoint, we must argue it from a cosmological standpoint, in other words, the bigger picture. We must talk about anthropology, who we are, what intimacy is, and what it shouldn't be. What our relationship is to our Creator, what it represents, what it does. Instead, we're basically saying, that's bad, this is good, stop it. Don't enshrine that, leave that alone, legalize this, but not that. Which is all right, but we're missing kind of the big picture here. And from the article, which we'll share another date, because frankly I want to digest so much of it, from the article, they were also talking a little bit about the history of sexuality. And that it was Christianity that really rescued people from what we are trying to introduce back into society today. We're not progressive, we're regressive. Prior to the Apostle Paul traveling around the Mediterranean, saying things like, homosexuality is a sin in the eyes of God. It should be one man and one woman in a lifelong covenant relationship. That was popular, not meaning liked. It just wasn't a known message. It wasn't. Israel stayed in Israel for the most part. I believe it's Psalm 96, Psalm 93 would indicate Israel really wasn't supposed to be just dealing with Israel. They should have been concerned about the rest of the world. Just the same, they didn't do a whole lot of traveling. They didn't do a whole lot of proselytizing. They didn't do a whole lot of evangelizing of the world. And so the message of the definition of marriage between one man and one woman wasn't known until Paul started making his way around, until people started obeying the Great Commission. They went and made disciples, teaching them to obey everything he had commanded. What did he command? Matthew 19:4, he endorsed Genesis 2, marriage. How did the world respond to it? I would suggest to you, they liked it. They liked it a lot. For a man, in dealing with his eros, affections, typically the woman was used for procreation. That's it. Because there were not a lot of rules about marriage and sexuality. The woman was used for procreation. The slave boy was used for fun. Now, how do you think slaves felt about that? They didn't jump for joy. How do you think women liked being nothing but the child bearer and house cleaner? Not too excited. And so along comes Paul and announces something crazy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, no difference between Jew and Gentile. Slave free, male, female, in the eyes of God. Differences, certainly. Unique attributes, definitely. Same value in the eyes of God. And this type of behavior, you're not going to treat a woman that way. You're not going to treat a weaker man that way. And it was accepted. And I think there's something that we might want to remember, Christian, as we enter into this season of chaos. This might get a lot worse. This might get really quite ugly out there when it comes to sexual behavior, what you're seeing on TV, what is going on in Publix, what you're going to bump into at the market. This could get uglier. There is a bright light at the end of this when we remember that this isn't merely about morality. This is about the souls of men. Just like in the first century when Paul proclaimed there's a better way, people were a bit sick of the way that they were going. Sin can be legalized, but it still convicts and haunts. Sin can be authorized by the state, but that does not mean that the conscience goes dull and people are not tormented by those nagging feelings, this isn't right. And it could be that we are entering into a pre-first century era where sexuality has devolved, regressed back into chaos. The Christian gospel came along, rescued people from their sins, rescued people from a lifestyle, rescued people from chaos, and people liked it. Maybe we are entering into a season where we're going to return to chaos. But that does not mean that Christianity is going to die. The gates of hell will not prevail over the Church of Jesus Christ, nor will homosexuality. But we could be entering into an era where people are allowed to do whatever they choose to do, but that doesn't mean they're not going to grieve over it. It might be celebrated for a season, but after a while, that same sense that they had in the first century, that this is not good, this is not lofty, this is not right, this does not explain me as a human being. Am I really this base? Am I this autonomous? Am I connected to no one, no society, no community, and no God? we could be entering back into that. I'm not sure that Google and the internet and iPhones are helping a whole lot with that effort, by the way. We're very autonomous. And this push towards sexual autonomy is another devolving in that regard. And maybe we're going to enter into that more, and then people will ultimately get tired of it. And then when we proclaim the gospel, which will not go away, maybe they'll hear it with new ears. Maybe. In the meantime, if Mikey Weinstein has his way, this could get pretty ugly for Christians. If what is going on in Canada is any indication of what could be happening here, this could get pretty ugly for us. If the Pentagon starts stating, can't do that, if our government gets a hate speech or hate crimes division, who do you think is going to be accused of hate speaking? I think we know the answer to that. It is we. Because we have a morality that is informed by God, and that is the last thing they want. So nothing really is going on these days to talk about now, other than that. Well, with the exception of Chris Broussard, you thought that tale had concluded? Oh, it's just getting good now. This is Wretched Radio.
We have access to more TV channels and less to really watch. Redeem your TV watching with On the Shoulders of Giants, as Todd takes you on a six-country European tour that will introduce you to the great reformers Luther, Tyndale, Wycliffe, Knox, and others. Our Christian ancestors willing to die so that we could have the truth. So fire up your DVD player, sit the family in front of the old tube, and watch something good for a change. On the Shoulders of Giants. Get your copy today at WretchedRadio.com.
Sharif Ramses had been running his bookstore in Benghazi, Libya for years. Then suddenly one day, men entered the bookstore and arrested him. They said he'd been bringing Christian materials into Libya illegally.
The government accused Sharif of Egypt of having more than 45,000 Bibles in storage. They went on to arrest six other people in connection with the Bible smuggling. And Sharif's family and others have said he's being horribly tortured while in custody.
Sharif and his family are clinging to their faith in God while they undergo this horrible trial. Christians around the world are praying for his protection and release. Will you add your prayers to theirs? To learn how you can pray for Christians in Libya and other countries, subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs award-winning newsletter at 800-75-VOICE. That's 800-75-VOICE. Dial 800-75-VOICE today. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
If you are a Wretched Club or Wretcheder Premium Club member, thank you. You know it's your support that helps keep us on the air? It's true. If you're not a Wretched or Wretcheder Premium Club member, want to check it out? Just go to WretchedRadio.com. You'll find you get full radio podcasts and all the archives of past Wretched Radio shows. You can view the Wretched TV show. There are discounts on Wretched resources in the Wretched store and discounts on all Wretched live events, a whole lot more, too. Please go and check out all the details at WretchedRadio.com.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
By and by, they begin to hear other ideas, other thoughts, and they begin to think, do I really believe these things for myself, or just because I've been taught those things?
So if I'm a parent, and my child who's been going to church all of his or her life starts to go, you know, I was thinking about Hinduism, or you know, whatever, don't freak out. It's
right.
Better to know where your child is at, and searching and figuring it out, because you don't get your faith because you were born into it.
That's right. So we don't want to gasp at that moment and say, how could you question God? What would you touch all your life? Where have we failed? I think we want to take the offensive and say, what are your questions? Let's talk about this, because we believe our faith is a rich, robust faith. We think it's a reasonable faith. Mom and Dad didn't shut their minds off so we could become Christians. So what are your questions? Because we think that the Word of God will stand up to tough questioning. We think God's truth will stand up to tough questions. Let's talk about them.
You can get Drive-By Parenting and all of our Drive-By resources at WretchedRadio.com. Wretched to the Nations is our effort to get our resources to ministries around the world so they can be equipped in areas of theology, evangelism, and in their daily Christian walk. Go to WretchedRadio.com/nations and please sponsor one of the ministries there. Not only will you be providing Wretched materials for that ministry, you'll be helping keep Wretched on the air. Please check out Wretched to the Nations, WretchedRadio.com/nations, and support a ministry or two if you can, and support us at the same time. WretchedRadio.com/nations.
Robert E. Lee said, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength."
Hold your calls, America. We have a winner.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just trying to fill up the time. Not much going on.
Hate those slow news days, don't you?
Yipper. This is Wretched Radio.
About Chris.
Well, you know, I guess what we could do in an effort to, you know, just to fill time here, we could play a little snippet from a different radio program. That would be interesting. For instance, we could share with you from Boers and Bernstein. I think that's how you pronounce it. Clearly a secular show. They're all giddy that Josh is, Colin, I'm sorry, what's the fellow's name who came out of the closet? Jason Collins.
Jason Collins.
The basketball player came out of the closet. The hosts at Boers and Bernstein, very excited. If you, however, call in and offer a Christian perspective...
Sounds like you're saying if someone's against homosexuality, they're wrong.
That's like saying if somebody is against black people, they're wrong. It's no different.
No, because homosexuality is a sin. Being black is not a sin.
But you're basing this on a religion.
I'm following God. And you're saying God...
For whatever reason you're choosing to be a bigot, you're a bigot.
That's your opinion.
No, it's not an opinion.
Doesn't make it fact.
It's a fact that you are a bigot, and you're making...
Now that's your opinion. Being against something doesn't mean you hate...
I think the world's passing you by, and you need to go away.
That is the secular mindset right now toward Christians. You need to go away. You're a bigot. We will come back to Boers and Bernstein. I endured about 20 minutes of their program for that this morning. It was rough. I want to respond to them because they are offering some new arguments. It doesn't take long these days for people to start to respond. They're now kind of getting their act together with the tolerance and intolerance trick. You know how we pointed that out? You claim that we're supposed to be tolerant, but you don't tolerate us. Well, now they've got a new response, and Boers and Bernstein try to present what that is. The controversy, of course, is about Jason Collins coming out of the closet, and even more than that, and I think more important for us, is Chris Broussard. You may recall he was on ESPN, Chris Broussard. He's a commentator on ESPN. He had the nerve to say that what Jason Collins is doing is sinful. And even though he calls himself a Christian, he said, I'm sorry, that just isn't Christian behavior. And we will know their fruit, and we will be able to determine if they're a Christian or not. That is some bold stuff. Now, needless to say, that caused quite a bit of brouhaha. Well, Chris Broussard isn't done. Had the courage, then, to go onto a radio program and take the heat.
Do you not like homosexuals?
I'm fine with homosexuals. I have no problem with homosexuals. Obviously, as I stated on ESPN, I'm a Christian. But I come across all types of people who are living lifestyles that I may not agree with. Not just homosexuals, and I can get along with, you know, people, come across people like that on an everyday basis. Obviously covering the NBA, I come across various lifestyles. So,
you sound like the white guy. You know, the white guy that says, I'm not racist, I got black friends. That's what you just sounded like.
Hey, whatever it sounds like, it's the truth.
That is a good response. That was a great response. Sometimes people will use an accusation to intimidate. They'll paint a picture and it's like, aha, and you're supposed to go, well, no, let me... Well, you can paint it that way if you want to. But if I said to you, for instance, hey, I'm not anti-Semitic. A lot of my friends are Jewish. Oh, that canard. Who says it's a canard? Who says it's a canard? You can state that argument sounds like, well, hey, all my friends are white because it sounds like the hosts are black and Chris Broussard is black. It sounds like that. He's right in responding. Call it what you want to. That's just the truth. Now ask yourself the question. Chris Broussard, you may recall when you heard it, it's everywhere. He said, look, I'm a Christian. This is how I see the issue. I've talked about it with Jason. We're still pals. We know where we stand. Contrast that, by the way, to Boers and Bernstein. What was that word that we had to beep out? Now, which guy really sounds more hate-filled?
So, and I actually as was on the show, L.V. Granderson, he's openly homosexual, openly gay. We have been friends for years. We've played ball together, had lunch together, had discussions together about his lifestyle, about my faith, and disagreed, but disagreed respectfully. So, nah, man, I don't have any problem with homosexuals.
Now, let's be careful. Chris Broussard is doing an outstanding job. We evangelicals might want to crown him prince. Hey, a famous guy who's defending the faith. Let's make. I don't know what church he's going to, but somebody is preaching from his pulpit. He did. Overall, he took the heat, and I thought he didn't back down. He didn't sound like a jerk. He didn't act like Boris and Bernstein.
Well, as I said during Donkey of the Day, and as we talked about last night on the phone, Chris, what makes you so perfect? I told you that we're human beings living a spiritual existence. Like, it's impossible for us not to get dirty walking through this thing called life.
Oh, please preach the gospel. Oh, please preach the gospel.
Yeah, no, I'm never claimed to be perfect. That's actually why I called you last night and rapped with you. I think you misinterpreted what I was saying. I definitely don't want to come off as that I'm perfect. I'm just striving to be Christ-like. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's the mark of a Christian, that we strive to be Christ-like. All of us fall and stumble, and I have fallen and stumbled many times since I've been a Christian. But I always, you know, repent and ask God for his forgiveness, and, you know, I move on from there. I think that's the mark of a Christian.
No, that was swell. Let's remember, when we are in a conversation with somebody, just in the back of your brain, have it rattling around, gospel, gospel, gospel. Now, you and I hear that and we go, rock on, dude, he even used the R word, talked about repentance, way to go. But if the audience is listening and they don't know the gospel, and most people do not, keep it in mind so that you can share it. Not generally, not vaguely, not assume, never assume these days that people know the gospel. Preach it as much as you can.
And I think if a person, that stumbling and falling while you're trying to live for the Lord is different than going out and hunting for sin. No, I'm going out getting into it tonight. I'm going to be mad if I don't get into any sin. So, or I'm trying to make you accept my sin, like, I don't care what God said, I'm just living like this. That's different than a person who's sincerely striving to live the right way and stumbles, legitimately falls, get back up, get on your path, you're forgiven, and let's keep trying.
Now, I want to know who his pastor is. I'm not kidding. That was very fine.
He's got a good one.
And that was on secular radio also. Well done to Chris Broussard. That was for you, by the way. If you happen to be an individual who thinks, oh no, I've sinned, I'm not saved anymore. He perfectly described, we are sanctified and we are being sanctified. We are simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously at the same time justified. All sins forgiven, past, present, and future, positionally and really, if you will, actually perfect. In the meantime, we're here in this veil. When we got this flesh, and it keeps hanging on, and it keeps dogging us, and we are growing in holiness. And just because a Christian sins doesn't mean he's not saved, but he rightly described the difference that 1 John 3:8 and 9 really nails in the Greek present tense. If you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. If you sin, you stumble, you fall, you're a Christian. But if you keep on sinning, I love sinning. As he said, I get mad if I don't get to sin today. That is a sign you're not saved. Chris Broussard, well done, sir.
Chris, what exactly does the Bible say about homosexuality?
It says it's a sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says fornicators, homosexuals, robbers, thieves, adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it goes on to list a few other things. Romans chapter 1 says it's unnatural. Obviously, the Old Testament talks about it being wrong. But people, you know, like to say, well, it says that in the Old Testament, Leviticus, but not in the New. But no, the New Testament, Romans and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and a few other scriptures clearly condemn homosexuality, along with all forms of sexual immorality, which is basically, as the Bible defines it, sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman.
Well,
That was excellent.
I'm thinking it's more mom and dad than his pastor.
That too. Well
this
done,
sounds
mom
ingrained
and dad.
Stuff.
Well done. We need to know our Bible verses. We need to know addresses. We need to be able to quote. And when we do, by the way, the more we can quote Scripture, it sounds different. It actually authenticates itself. It grants itself its own authority. When you quote the Bible, it just feels different. You just get a sense, that's not the way we talk. That's a higher thing that you're quoting there. The more we can quote Scripture, the better. Well done, Chris Broussard.
Chris, Deuteronomy 14:8 condemns the eating of pork, but I bet you love bacon.
I sure do, but, you know, the Old Testament dietary laws don't apply in the New Covenant. Acts chapter 10, Peter, you know, talks about that as the Lord revealed it to Peter. So all of the Old Testament laws, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament that they had to follow under the Old Covenant. We're under grace. We don't have to follow all of those 613 laws to have peace with God. But the moral covenant, because it's outlined in the New Covenant, the New Testament, like I said, 1 Corinthians 6, Ephesians, Romans, Galatians chapter 5, talk about the New Covenant still following the moral code of the Old Testament. So the moral laws of the Old Testament that we were taught still apply, but not, you know, eating shrimp and wearing blended cloth and fabric and things like that.
Way to preempt that one. Well done, sir. Now, I might arrive at his conclusion on a slightly different hermeneutical path, but I'm not... There are a lot of Christians who believe that's how we deal with those Old Testament laws. To me, I do it a slightly different way. But that was excellent. He represented that side and that position well. And if you ask me, I think he's silencing them. I don't know how friendly they are with him normally, but overall, I think that he is showing himself to be equipped to handle the word, and he is representing our side, I think, excellently.
So what about those that say, okay, I was born gay, so how can you say that I'm a born sinner? Like, I'm not asking to be sinful. I'm born this way. This is naturally who I am.
That's true.
Well, I mean, first of all, my personal belief is that you aren't born that way. I think the scientific studies, you have those on both sides. It's really inconclusive, but regardless, we're all born in sin. I mean, I was born attracted to women. I'm still attracted to women. I'm married 17 years, never cheated on my wife. But, man, I've been tempted, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I cover the NBA. I'm seeing beautiful women all the time. I've had actresses throw me a little rhythm, but I got to resist. I got to fight against temptation, and that's the life of a Christian, that you fight against the temptation, and if you stumble and fall, then you get back up, you repent, you ask God for forgiveness, and you move on. And I think that applies to homosexuals as well.
We have to be equipped to answer this one. Boris and Berenstein brought that one up also. Hey, cut it out. Just quit saying it. You can't say that. You've got to stop saying that just because somebody lives that lifestyle, that they're a sinner. Cut it out. You can't tell them they're wrong. It's like saying to somebody that, you know, they think rape is good. Well, you can't say that when you're so wrong. You can't say that somebody else is wrong when you're so wrong. That's their argument. You cannot, as a Christian, tell somebody who is gay they're wrong because you're so wrong on the issue. May I ask you a question? How would you respond to that argument? It sounds powerful on the surface. You are so wrong, you can't tell anybody they're wrong. How would you respond to that? Next on Wretched Radio.
Save over 50% now on the Evangel Equip Bundle. Now, this includes The Biggest Question and The Case for Atheism DVDs, plus The Terrified and Creation in the Gospel MP3s. These will make you ready for any witness encounter and hone your apologetics. You'll learn how to discuss the existence of God with an atheist, overcome objections from an evolutionist, discuss the biggest question a human can ask, and hear real witnessing encounters with a step-by-step study guide. The Evangel Equip Bundle at WretchedRadio.com.
The
This is John MacArthur. Please join me for today's Portraits of Grace. Timothy was Paul's trusted companion in the gospel. In Philippians 2:20, Paul describes him as a man of kindred spirit. That is, they were like-minded, sharing the same love for Christ and his church. Timothy had some weaknesses, to be sure, but still Paul valued him highly and gained great joy and strength from their friendship. I pray that you have many people of kindred spirit in your life, brothers and sisters in Christ, who encourage you and pray for you and hold you accountable to God's word. They are precious gifts from God. So esteem them highly and pray for them often. Do everything you can to reciprocate their ministry in your life. This is John MacArthur encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
Odds are you spend a ton of time in your car, between work and church and kids and errands. It's just how we roll these days. That's where Drive-By Theology comes in. While you travel here and there, hither and yon, you can listen to 48 theology lessons in nice drive-time chunks. Todd and Pastor Bob Glenn will bring you a rock-solid theological foundation, redeeming your time on the road. Get your copy today of Drive-By Theology and check the entire Drive-By series at wretchedradio.com.
Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Alistair Begg.
Do you think it is distinctly possible that people have the perspective that conservative Christianity is directly related to a political view which, if endorsed, you may be loved, and if set aside, you may be disregarded? That conservative Christianity bears a certain kind of face, that it has a sort of inner circle, and if you're in the inner circle, then you may be embraced and loved and cared for. But if you're outside the circle, if your sexuality is up the creek, if you don't happen to fit the same color bar and color code, if you don't have the same background, if you don't have whatever it is, do you think there's at least a possibility that the average student on a university campus may have to conclude that conservative Christianity has completely missed this point? Be honest now. There's no question. There is no question. We've got our heads so far underneath one of our arms that it's not even funny when it comes to this.
Perfect for your family or personal devotions, Exalted Worship. So great a salvation.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall.
Kirk Cameron will lead you in prayers and confessions.
Though my sins rise to heaven, your merit soar above them.
Scott Cropain brings you profoundly biblical worship songs and hymns.
The eternal truth attends our word.
Get your copy of Exalted Worship at wretchedradio.com.
It's a vicious cycle that those guys get caught up in.
Solomon described a cycle of air currents 2,000 years before scientists discovered them. The wind goes towards the south and turns about and to the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. Ecclesiastes 1:6.
That's right, baby!
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are so wrong. You cannot tell that person that they are wrong. So zip it, Christian. This is Wretched Radio. Borzen Bernstein, a not-Christian talk show, is, I think, rolling out the response now of secularists to the Christian response to their intolerance ploy. You know the routine, you know the shtick. Hey, you got to tolerate everybody, and if you don't, we won't tolerate you. Now, we've pointed that out, and people are starting to get good at it. In fact, an individual who called into their program tried to use that.
It sounds like you're saying if someone's against homosexuality, they're wrong.
That's like saying if somebody is against black people, they're wrong. It's no different.
No, because homosexuality is a sin. Being black is not a sin.
But you're basing this on a religion.
There it is, right there. You're basing this on a religion. That's the problem. And you're so wrong, you cannot judge anybody for being wrong.
Following God. And you're saying God.
For whatever reason you're choosing to be a bigot, you're a bigot.
I see. Now, we're bigots. We're not supposed to use that name. We should not call anybody a bigot, unless, of course, they think we're a bigot, then they can call us a bigot. and round and round we go.
Your opinion.
No, it's not an opinion.
Doesn't make it fact.
It's, no, it's a fact that you're a bigot. And you're...
See, there we go, right there. That there's the Achilles right there. There's the Achilles. All right, homeschooler, you have studied logic. You have studied debate. Where did this guy blow it? Right there.
It's fact.
It's, you know, it's a fact that you're a bigot. And you're...
What did he just do? What did he just do? He's presupposing that he is right. That does not make him right, and that does not buy him the right to shut you down. By presupposing that you're right, you cannot therefore just end the argument. When somebody says to you, you're so wrong, you can't even judge those people for being wrong. Now, that maybe sounds persuasive if they're right. You know, if they're right, then that might be a statement that you could make. But you've got to make that case first, and they don't make the case. They're jumping over it. It's like when somebody debates you, and they use an analogy to make their point. Analogies do not make a point. Analogies do not automatically prove the statement. All an analogy does is help make it clear. Oh, it's like this. Here's your simile. Here's your metaphor. This, it's as if you, boom, and then they use the analogy. That does not prove their point. It only illustrates it.
No, it's a fact that you are a bigot, and you're making
now
yourself
that you're
on the radio.
Against. Being against something doesn't mean you hate.
I think the world's passing you by, and you need to go away.
The world is indeed right now passing Christians by, if you will. And you need to go away? Now, I'm not real good at identifying hate speech, but I do believe that might qualify right there. Because remember, Christian, what's good for the goose, not so good for the gander. Be prepared. That's the latest argument. You're so wrong, you can't tell them that they're wrong. That's how... No. You're presupposing I'm wrong. Why don't you prove to me I'm wrong? And it really did. That little snippet was very illuminating. You are arguing from a religious standpoint. Now, that argument has been trotted out before, and historically, evangelicals have said, you're right, I won't do that anymore. I'll use statistics. I'll use a survey. I'll talk about the effects of culture and how bad this will be, which is all fine. But just because, hey, you're just a religious crackpot using the Bible. That's right, I am. Just because somebody huffs and puffs doesn't mean that we stop wielding the sword. Chris Broussard appearing on another radio program to defend what he said about Jason Collins, that his lifestyle, he can be a famous professional basketball player, he can call himself a Christian, but because he's out of the closet and living an unrepentant homosexual lifestyle, he's not a Christian. I'm grateful for this conversation. I don't know how much longer Chris Broussard will have a job, but I'm grateful. Listen to the questions now that they are asking him on this radio interview.
How are you going to be forgiven if you ain't even asking for it?
But like I said to you last night, it's like, yo, I can go to church on Sunday. I can pray for forgiveness every time I lay down with a different girl. But what if I keep doing that over and over and over? Does that make me a bad person?
Well, the question is your heart. I mean, and you know that. Are you really trying... not to fornicate, not to sleep with that girl over and over again. Because God, the Bible says God is not mocked. God ain't no punk. You ain't no punk. I ain't no punk. None of y'all punk. If I come to you and I say, yo, man, I want to be in covenant with you. I want to be your boy. We cool. But behind your back, I'm going out time and time again and dissing you and dogging you on purpose. But when I see you in your face, I'm like, yo, man, you know, I'm sorry, man. But I don't really mean it. Then you ain't gonna go for that once you find out the truth, because you ain't no punk. You ain't mock. And it's the same thing with God. We created in His image. So if we ain't punks and gonna fall for that, then He certainly ain't gonna go for that. But
this is happening on secular radio. That to me is worth all the brouhaha.
If I'm your boy and I sincerely mess up, I just happen to do something wrong against you, and you know I'm really sorry, and I'm like, yo, man, my bad. I ain't gonna do it no more, dog. I'm sorry. Then you'll forgive me in many cases, and it's the same with God.
Excellent. Chris Broussard, trotting out theology, not backing down. What a lesson for us. And by the way, I think there's something that's fascinating about this. His response that elicited this conversation was because he was using biblical terms when he was interviewed on ESPN. He would say things like, I'm a Christian. The Bible says that homosexuality is a sin, not deleterious for society. It is a sin. And if you claim to be a Christian and you live in an unrepentant lifestyle of sin, you're not really a Christian. That's by bringing up theology without any shame, look at the fruit that is coming from this. And he is defending himself, I think, most honorably. By the way, if I could just give Chris a little bit of advice, maybe in his defense in the future, he could use the defense of some Carnegie Mellon students. You see, at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, that's in Pennsylvania, there was a parade. At an annual art school parade, a female student dressed up as the Pope and was naked from the waist down while she passed out prophylactic devices. There was even more detail to the things that she did, which when I read, I was actually slack-jawed and wouldn't even consider repeating them in the company of women or men. Some Carnegie Mellon students, maybe they need to change their name. I think it rhymes better anyway. It flows. Some Carnegie Mellon students we talked with saw no need for discipline, reported the KDKA news station. Here's one student, Andy Sheehan. It's all in good fun. It's not meant to harm anyone. The next time you say homosexuality is a sin and somebody gets huff and puffy with you, just repeat that, Chris. It's all in good fun. It's not meant to harm anyone. Rawr! They would just mock you and they would attack you for that. What do you mean? It didn't mean to hurt any. It's all in good fun. Why can't we use that excuse? But it seems that liberals can. Some more fallout, by the way, from this story. Are you familiar with ex-Packers star Leroy Butler? I think he played for about a decade for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, he's a safety for the Packers.
I didn't want to get all, you know, hoity-toity with
See, you got to remember,
knowledge.
I have two favorite football teams.
The Vikings
and anyone who plays the Packers. Just saying.
Well, he was going to be preaching at a church somewhere in Wisconsin, undisclosed location. And he tweeted when Jason Collins came out, he basically said, hey, way to go. Well, for that, the church called him up and said, you want to take that back or you're not coming to preach in our church?
The church did that.
A church did that. Yeah, he was. So this guy, Leroy Butler, he was going to go to preach in July. He tweeted congratulations to Jason Collins. The church called him up. Now, I'm not going to repeat his side of the story, how he characterizes their tone and their attitude on the phone, because we haven't spoken to the church. But they basically said, look, you can't come here supporting somebody in an unrepentant lifestyle. We can't have you talking to our kids about this. Now, if you think that is an interesting part of the story, that ain't nothing. Butler said he was going to be paid $8,500 for the private appearance. Yowza! What kind of church? Good. So in a spirit of graciousness, because I think what the church did was so admirable in canceling the appearance, I am actually willing to go and speak there for $8,400. Because I'm a giver that
You're
way.
Like that, yeah.
Well, I just want to help them out.
Yeah.
$8,500.
So, Chris, what's the moral of the story? What's the thing you really want to convey to the people today?
I just want to convey to the people, man, that, you know...
Gospel, please, the gospel. This is something that I have to discipline myself for. Let's see how Chris does with this. When somebody gives you an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, we got to nab it. We got to take it.
Like I said, you start off this interview by saying, why am I perfect? I'm not claiming to be perfect, man. I'm just claiming to be a man that loves the Lord and is trying my best to live for Christ.
Right.
And I believe that's the mark of a Christian. And anyone trying to do that is a sincere Christian. But I got love for y'all, man.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for having me on the show. Love the conversation.
I love the conversation, too. it would be, it would have been even more, look, he did excellently. It would have been, in my estimation, even more excellently. Just, hey, you're a man of God. You're striving to be Christ-like. You're, okay, great. Why? Because Jesus died for me, a sinner. I'm just a beggar. God threw a loaf of bread to me, and I'm just trying to share it with other beggars. That's all I'm trying to do. Now, let us hear what happens when Chris Broussard hangs up the phone.
You almost put me to sleep.
Why, conversation with God put you to sleep?
Nah, but it just seems like he was talking down to people. It seems like he felt like he was better than anybody else.
Why would you have the chance to address him?
Like, nah, I just said I fell asleep on it. I didn't want to talk to him. That's how I felt.
But he just said, you can't be like that, Emmy.
I could be like that.
He don't feel like he's perfect, you know?
So. I do, but I'm just telling you how it felt like to me.
Uh-huh. Sure. That he was condescending and arrogant.
Can I say that?
We have to admit that we can, this is like having your kid on American Idol. You know, the kid can sing like Paul Abdul, and you're going to think it's fantastic because it's your child. You're going to be biased. So I hear Chris Broussard, a professing believer, do what I think is an admirable job in defending the faith, explaining why he said, I'm sorry, that's a sin, I can't go for that, no can do. And I thought he did an excellent job, and I thought his tone was not just fine, I thought it was very good. I didn't hear condescension there. This is a reminder. We are going to strive, and we will continue to strive to not be arrogant. We don't want to come across as pride-filled. That's the opposite of what a Christian should sound like, as jerks. But know this, even when you're not, they will say that you are. They will call you names because of what you stand for.
Greg is on the score.
It sounds like you're saying if someone's against homosexuality, they're wrong.
That's like saying if somebody is against black people, they're wrong. It's no different.
No, because homosexuality is a sin. Being black is not a sin.
But you're basing this on a religion.
I'm following God. And you're saying
but
God.
For whatever reason you're choosing to be a bigot, you're a bigot.
That's your opinion.
No, it's not an opinion.
Doesn't make it fact.
It's a fact that you are a bigot and you're making
now that's your
on the radio.
Opinion. Being against something doesn't mean you hate.
I think the world's passing you by and you need to go away.
Who are the haters? Who are the bigots? Who are the intolerant ones? Who are the judgmental ones? Christian, it shouldn't be us. But when you proclaim the truth as you are commanded to do and you desire to do out of a grateful heart in response to what Jesus did for you, get ready for it, and you don't even need to live in Canada. Until next time, go serve your king.